Welcome to the FemiPod. These are conversations about females for everyone to listen to, learn from, and engage with. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Esther Kewen, and myself, Lydia O'Donnell. Welcome back to episode 110. In this episode, we speak to an incredible founder of the sustainable period care company, Hello Period. In 2017, Robin McLean founded Hello Period with her best friend, Mary Bond, out of the need for sustainable period products that provide women with confidence. Robin is here to chat with me about her journey as a founder, the importance of breaking down the taboo around periods, why education for everyone is so important, and to give us the insights of her incredible products, of which I personally use and love. Welcome to the podcast, Robin. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Nice to be here.
It's an honour to have you on. We're going to jump straight into things. You founded Hello Period with your best friend, Mary, which I love because obviously I founded Femi with my bestie, Esty. I'd love to hear more about your story and what inspired you to start Hello Period.
Yeah, sure. So, Mary and I have been best friends since we were 11. We met at school in Wellington and we'd always talked about starting a business together but always hard to find that idea that you both feel like an idea that sort of gels for both of you. And Mary, after we left school, Mary became a nurse and I trained as a journalist and then went into marketing. But it was one day in early 2017 when I tried a menstrual cup for the first time and it was so life-changing. I called Mary immediately, as, you know, best friends do, and I just said to her, look, why didn't we know about things like this when we were growing up? This is already in the space of, you know, an hour changed my life because growing up, I'd always had really, really heavy periods. And I think I'd been put on the pill to try and manage them from a really early age. And there was no discussion about hormones or what else I could maybe do to manage my flow, and also no other option in terms of period care than tampons or pads. And so this menstrual cup held more, it was more comfortable. And I just was like, oh God, this is so annoying that these aren't mainstreamed. And so then I said, what do you think about starting a menstrual cup company? And she was a bit like, oh, okay, well, that's random. kind of not what she was thinking. We were, you know, I think she had visions of us maybe doing some nice bed linen or a cute range of children's clothes. But she'd also had terrible periods. And the more we talked about it, the more sense it made, I guess, because by the stage we both had daughters of our own and felt like an opportunity to do something for them and do something for their friends and give them something that we didn't have. And that really was just choice. And I think for some reason, the period industry and female health in general has just been largely ignored. And as a result, many of us have been putting up with products that just lack kind of thought and lack any really progressive design changes. So, yeah, that's a long-winded way of telling you that I guess we started from a point of need and passion, but also we had not a single clue what we were doing. Neither of us had any business experience. I don't know whether that's the same for you guys, starting from a point of passion. Right.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny how both Hello Period and Femi really came to life because of our experiences with our periods and our cycles and how they impacted us and just that kind of, lack of education and lack of conversation around our female bodies. It's when I have also got a heavy period, and I have had one since I was young, but I didn't really realize that my experience was different to anybody else's because we didn't speak about it at all. But I remember this one time I was on a training, and I think I was away for a race when I was at high school, and we all kind of like stayed in a hotel or a motel together and bunked up, so we'll be sharing beds with each other. And I had my period, and I probably would have been about 15 or 16 at this point. And to talk about your period was just incredibly embarrassing, and we just didn't do it. But I was so worried that I was going to bleed throughout the night when I had my friend in my bed with me. And so I went to bed one night with two tampons, a pad, running shorts, track pants, all of that, because I was so anxious about bleeding, which I didn't obviously end up bleeding that badly, but my period was like pretty severe, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was just something that, I mean, I'm 34 now and I've been dealing with this for over 20 years and it's still bad, and I still like haven't found a huge solution, but I have been using your discs, which have been amazing, and actually again has reiterated to me how bad my period is, because when you use tampons, you kind of just don't really realize you know, are changing your tampons here and there, and you kind of just like get into that routine for years and years and years. And then having used your disc even just over the last few months, I've just been like, oh my god, like I'm losing so much blood, this is actually really scary and not good. And so it's actually prompted me to actually at 34 like reach out for help and get to the bottom of like the problems, because it's, I think having a heavy period for me is just like a sign that something else is not right, and like I need to get to the bottom of that. So,
yeah, and I think again, that's, you know, we've grown up not being told at school that the average person loses, you know, 6 to 8 tablespoons of blood over their cycle, which I don't know who came up with that, because until cups and discs have come into popularity in like literally the last few years, there's been no way to measure how much you are losing. And so that's amazing to hear. And we get that feedback a lot from people who've been told by medical experts, oh no, you know, you're fine. That's kind of what everyone loses. But you can, with a disc or a cup, you can measure exactly how much you're losing, and you can go and talk to your GP or specialist and say, look, I'm losing this much. And, you know, we've heard of a lot of our customers who've then had to go on and have some pretty serious iron transfusions or, you know, to supplement their well-being, because they're really exhausted and they don't want to make a fuss about it. But, you know, it's really important to know what's happening with your body. And, you know, that's totally one of the most amazing things that's come out of developing these products.
Yeah, it's amazing how much we put up with as women because we think we just have to. And then when you realize that you actually don't have to and that there are solutions, it's pretty exciting. So you're like, well, you know, I've been living feeling 50% of what I think my potential is day to day because of my low iron, which is related to my period. And I'm like, what can I achieve if I feel 100%? It's insane. And you're doing some pretty amazing work with our physiologist, Dr. Claire Bardenhurst, which is awesome as well. And the work that's going on in the space is just like so exciting.
Yeah. And again, that research that she's doing wouldn't have been able to be done unless you can use a cup or a disc, which is what, you know, that's our very small role in what she's doing, but is providing those products for the people that she's got taking part. But yeah, it's so great to see people working in this space now more and opening that dialogue, because actually I was just thinking before I came on and you interviewed the lovely Catherine Switzer a while ago, and we did it when we first launched, well, not long after we first launched our cups. I met her and she said to me, look, I wish that I had had these when I was running professionally. And we went on to do a collaboration with her via her 261 Fearless running program in New York mainly. And we went to the New York Marathon and had a stall there, which she was awesome. On the stall with us. But a little bit like your story before, and I don't know how often she's talked about this, but she said that when she won the New York Marathon, she had her period and she was wearing two tampons and black leggings and a pad. And, you know, and I, you know, it's for her, she was like, if I'd had a cup which holds three and a disc holds five times more, you know, it gives peace of mind for people, I don't know, participating in sports. That's a bit of a segue, but because I just...
It's true. Like when you are lining up on a start line of a race, the most important thing is that you feel confident. And if you're lining up and you're like, oh my God, I've got my period and I've got to go and run for 3 or 4 hours. And what if this happens? What if I got to go to the bathroom? Like those thoughts running through your head is just going to affect your performance so severely, you know? But if you can be there being like, I'm sweet, I've got this, I've done the training, I'm prepared, I've got my cup in, like, I don't even need to think about that. Then like, it just makes such a huge, huge difference to your performance, but it's just like so underestimated. You know, we don't talk about it enough.
Well, we did a study recently. We did a study with New Zealanders and Australians about the reasons why they stop participating in sport. And roughly 70% said that their period was a factor in them stopping sport. That's massive.
Crazy.
And so I guess, you know, an amazing part of what you guys are doing is bringing it into the conversation and even just normalizing it by, you know, creating what you've created, will hopefully reduce that statistic, because people need to know they're not the only ones, and that there's no shame. And if you're a professional and you leak through, fuck, you know,
whatever,
you're doing sport, it's amazing, you're a legend. So you know, there's a few athletes I've seen recently sort of really owning that space, and it's so refreshing.
It is, yeah, so empowering and so good for young girls to be able to see more and more of these conversations.
Yeah.
Alongside, obviously, the work you're doing to help women and improve the space for women, I read somewhere that a single menstruator will use anywhere between 5,000 and 15,000 pads or tampons across their life. So, you're obviously also solving this sustainability problem as well. Yep. How much of that is part of your mission?
It's a huge part, but the forefront of what we do is always to make products that are better and more convenient, because that's how we get people to change from single use. So to date, we have diverted over 500 million single use products from landfill.
Wow, that's amazing.
And our goal is to get to 1 billion by 2030, and we're on track. So
incredible.
You know, and so I guess to put that in context, if someone starts using a Hello Disc or a Hello Cup at the start of their period journey, so the average person with a period will have about had them for about 40 years. And so if that person used a disc, is a disc, they would need 8 discs over that, say, 40-year period, compared to up to 15,000 tampons. So as an individual, switching to sustainable, reusable period care, you can make a massive impact in terms of reducing weight, waste, but also saving money. And who doesn't want to save a bit of money? Because period, single-use period products are expensive.
Yeah, that's awesome. How incredible.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit more about your founder journey and just some of the challenges that you've faced being more specifically a female founder, and obviously building a product that's only for women? Have you faced many challenges from that aspect?
I think the biggest part of our journey is starting a business from a passion point without that experience in what it takes and what's needed to run a business. For us, we started, you know, we're like, okay, we'll design the product, but you know, I wouldn't know how to do a spreadsheet. I still don't like spreadsheets. My brain is sort of that creative brain. And learning as we went along was really fun, but really challenging. And I don't think, you know, another hurdle we had was how do we get people to change a habit? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were like, oh, no, well, I use tampons, and cups and discs in particular look bigger than tampons, even though you fold them. And so they're actually no bigger to insert than a tampon. Visually, they're very new. So we decided from the outset that we needed to put a real focus on education and supporting our customers and treating them like they were our best friends. And so having conversations, you know, we always say nothing is TMI, hit us with anything you want to say and we'll talk through things with you. We haven't, we self-funded for the first few years and we didn't pay ourselves a salary. We were lucky that we both had husbands who had jobs, and so there was some money coming in from them. I look back on that now and go, that was, you know, pretty crazy, but it actually was the only way the business would have survived. I think the fact that we were getting emails from customers saying that we were changing their lives kept us going. There were absolutely days when we were close to giving up, because it's really hard. And, you know, and the interesting thing is I think maybe the hardest feedback sometimes was from women. Mm. And we like to always think that women support women, but some women support women and some women don't. And you know, our investors now, and that's partly a reflection on the world of investment, full stop. But our main investors in the business are men. Mm. And I think that that is also amazing, because I look at periods as affecting everyone. So we once had to speak at an event, and just by nature of the event, 95% of the audience were males. And so I thought, oh, it might be a tough audience. But actually we opened with, we get that you guys don't have periods, but someone you know and love does have a period. So, you know, there's just this common ground. And I think people understand once you've been in a relationship, people kind of get the impact of that periods have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the journey to where we are now has been filled with laughter, tears, but a lot of pride. We're now the only sustainable period care brand in the world that has a product for everyone. So we really wanted to get to that stage. We launched with a cup, and then we weren't happy that we didn't have a product for people who didn't want to wear something internally. Mm-hmm. And so our underwear and our pads, when they were launched, that felt like a real full circle moment. Mm-hmm. And then we do specialist cups for different cervix heights. And, you know, I think back to 2017, we launched with just one cup. And then we've learned along the way more about our own bodies as we've got into this business, you know, and the fact that a cup that might suit one person doesn't suit another person because your cervix is positioned in a different way. And so the more people talk about that, again, it's sort of knowledge is power, learning more about your own body. It's amazing.
That is, yeah, it's so amazing. And it's definitely something that Esther and I have found throughout the journey with Femi, is just like, every day we are learning more and more about ourselves, and sometimes it feels like we've just built Femi for ourselves. Yeah. But it's awesome that so many other women can benefit off their education as well. And yeah, it's obviously something that you do so well is the education piece and the articles that you provide on your website around menstrual cycle education is like so insightful and I think so important. And it obviously plays a huge role in what you are doing. And it's interesting to think about like the education where we are now and the awareness people have about these cycles and their bodies as females or people who menstruate compared to where we were like 5 years ago. How have you kind of seen that evolution happen over the last 5 years? Because I would say back in like 2017, 2018, yeah, it would have been a pretty tough conversation to be having with not just investors, but even consumers. Like talking about periods wasn't really a thing back then.
No, it totally wasn't. And for that reason, we thought that we would only be selling online and that people would, you know, it would be a little bit like the sort of sex toy industry that, you know, people wanted it in a discreet package and all kind of, you know, cloak and dagger sort of hush hush. But I think the biggest change for us was actually not long after we started, we got an email from Urban Outfitters in the US and they wanted to stock us. Mm-hmm. And the US market is a lot more progressive in this space, which is really fascinating. So they've had sustainable period care sort of relatively mainstreamed for years. Like you can go into Target, Walmart, CVS, they're on the shelves, cups, discs, underwear now. And I think they led the way in terms of kind of opening the conversation. And I think we often look to the US for trends and things like that. So they definitely helped. But it has been slow, and still, even when we try to do media in New Zealand, we get pushback from, you know, the mainstream broadcasters who just really don't want to engage in period conversation in prime time. So, you know, I feel like a lot of work has been done. And I think also interestingly, running sort of parallel to the work we've been doing in the period space, the menopause discussion has also opened up, and that's so great to see too. So I do think there's still a lot more work, but also when I see the change from 2017 to now, and particularly I think with the, I mean, I sound old when I say the younger generation, but the teenagers coming into their early 20s and things, they are leading the way in so many areas, and sustainability is one. They're a lot more mindful and also open to discussion, like sort of no TMI stuff there. And yeah, just being proud to have periods and have a sex toy and, you know, just owning it.
Yeah, definitely. It's so empowering when you open TikTok and there's just all these young women speaking about their menstrual cycles and their periods. Yeah. and understanding the power of their periods too. I think it's just like, yeah, it was a very much needed change, but it is happening, yeah, which is awesome.
That's right. Social media, I mean, it gets a bad rap for a lot of things, but it is also an amazing platform to realise that you're not alone in whatever you're experiencing. I think, you know, when I was growing up, all I could do if I wasn't talking about my period to my friends, which I wasn't, you know, was go to my doctor, say I had a heavy period, and that sort of, she was the only one that I ever kind of confided in about what was happening with my body. It's nuts. And even that survey that I talked about, we also surveyed people in the workforce, and you know, about 80% of people have called up to say that they are sick, and lied to their manager because they didn't want to reveal that they had period pain or just, you know, cramping or whatever, that they weren't comfortable enough. And that was the reason we asked that question in the survey, was because that was my experience when I was younger in the workforce. I just did not feel comfortable saying that's why I couldn't come into work. And, you know, so you sound lame saying you've got a headache or something. But, you know, until we stop doing that, we are still keeping the taboo around periods. So what we try and say is, you know, don't be ashamed of what is completely normal and natural. And for some people is a walk in the park, but for others is really, really hard going, especially for a couple of days. So
yeah, it is an interesting one. And I feel like when we speak about periods and menstrual cycles, it's very much trying to change that narrative of like, oh, like drag, you've got your period, or like how annoying, or that's a nuisance. Yeah. And like, for me growing up as an athlete, I was always encouraged to just get rid of my period because it was always seen as something that was like damaging to my performance as an athlete. But actually what we've learned over the last 5 or so years is, you know, that my period is actually a power when it comes to sport. And by changing that narrative, not only am I becoming more educated, but I just feel so much more confident in my body because of the way I speak about myself, and that like, cool, I've actually got my period. That's great. I'm healthy. I'm doing all the right things. Like, it's the psychology behind it is so powerful. And I think something that doesn't get spoken about enough. And then in the workspace, like I imagine a world in the future where we all talk about our periods in the workspace and say, I'm on day 15 and I feel X, Y, and Z, or I'm on day 25. Like, I don't feel comfortable getting in front of a crowd today. Like, I don't want to be leading any meetings. And I realize for some people, they might be like, well, that's just unrealistic because you don't want to hold up a work team because you've got, you know, you're just about to get your period. But like, just having those conversations and creating that awareness and safe space to talk about it, just, I think, will make women and people who menstruate so much more comfortable at their workspace to do the best work that they can do. So I think it, like you said, periods affect everyone. Yeah. And I think it's important that we are all on this journey together.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, that's why we called our business Hello Period, because we wanted a name that was not negative, that would suggest that, oh, hi, welcome back, you know, like treating your period like a friend who's visiting each month, and that it's, you know, and again, the conversation around, hello, let's talk. Yeah. We found in our space a lot of the other products, not that there were many when we started, but they all had names that were sort of related to the lunar cycle. So they tended to have a loon or a moon or something in them. And we felt that that was sort of narrowing the market, because we wanted to lift sustainable period care out of kind of a place where they'd been put as being for really, really eco-conscious people. And yes, absolutely, they are for those people. But where we wanted them to be positioned was for everyone. And that's, you know, again, why we want, you know, we always want our products to be represented by retailers in the world, because that's where people are shopping for their period products.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And you're definitely doing that. I feel like it's like the brand just feels so relatable and fun and like not embarrassing or taboo at all. You know, like I remember being at school and if someone was on their period, you'd be like sliding tampons under the table. You wouldn't even want anyone, even I went to an all-girls school and like it was still embarrassing to have like a tampon out on the table.
I know. I still remember to this day putting my tampon up my sleeve, my jersey, and then getting into the cubicle and opening it like so slowly so no one would hear the wrapper. And crazy, I was at an all-girls school too. Like,
insane.
Insane.
Oh my gosh, I know. I really love the way you spoke about like men also being involved in the education. I think that's like so important. And for us, we actually held a session, like an education session, with our doctor, Dr. Izzy, in Sydney recently. And I want to say at least 50% of the audience that came to the event, knowing that it was like about female physiology, yeah, were men. And they sat and they listened, and you could see they were so engaged. And it was, for me, I was just so proud that, like, yeah, men were willing to give an hour and a half or so more of their evening time to come and sit and like become educated themselves. And I think that is also just like underestimated the power of those experiences for men, and like what that one single man in that room will probably go and have an impact on probably what 5 or 10 at least other women in, absolutely, their lives. And I'm like, that's so cool that he could turn up and be like, oh yeah, I know about the follicular phase and I know about the luteal phase. Oh, I can understand why you don't feel that good. Like, it's just, yeah, it's so awesome. And more, yeah, and more of that needs to happen.
Oh, absolutely. That's, I love that so much. And I do bang on a bit about what I really, really want to see around the world, but particularly in New Zealand and Australia, is that education starting at schools, and for schools not to be segregating out the boys from the girls, which they're still doing. Mm. And some boys' schools don't even have education around menstruation. But that is key to the fight, you know, to us really being able to smash this taboo that exists, is to ensure that boys are getting the same education as, mm-hmm, girls. And it's not all on the school. Obviously, the education piece needs to start at home too. But I think having those sessions where they divide up the girls and boys, it's not helpful. And it's not helpful for the girls either. To not learn about the changes that the boys are going through. We're humans, and we just need to kind of get a grip sometimes that this is definitely not embarrassing stuff.
No, like I remember at school, and I don't know if this still happens, but I have a feeling it does, when the only thing we learned about our bodies was in sex education. And it was about how to use a tampon. And that was kind of it. And that, like, our periods were there for us to, like, have a baby. And that was it. And it's, you know, no wonder we grow up thinking that our periods have one use, and that no idea about all the other things that go on in our menstrual cycles and how they impact us. It's like, you are a female and you have a period, yeah, and you're going to have a baby at some point. And it's like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I think that's still, for the majority, that's still how it rolls. And because there's no requirement on what is and isn't taught, so there's no mandatory education around this. And schools can bring in whoever they want to talk about periods and sex education. And, you know, traditionally it was a retired nurse. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely the case for me. And I think that still happens. And I feel like that's a little bit sad, because often they are, from our perspective, they're still trotting out there, here's a tampon, here's a pad, proudly presented in a pouch, paid for by a leading, company, and that's it. We get emails more and more from schools asking for us to provide samples, because the students are asking to see them. Awesome. And that's amazing. But again, I wish it was, there was a more proactive system where schools need to show every student the choice that is available.
100%. It's interesting to think about the opportunity for young girls to start using period care that's outside of just your traditional tampons and pads. Yeah. And what do you see kind of the future of period care, period products being like? Have you got any exciting ideas of how the space is evolving?
I feel like I'm really happy with where we're at. We're always looking at other things that we could do. But, you know, as I said, it was always our mission to be able to create products that could be used by anyone, internal and external. And I think the underwear we have holds 5 times more than pads. And, you know, as long as we're doing stuff that has a positive impact and, you know, lasts for years, it's leak-proof. I think the future of period care is definitely in the education space, you know, like what you guys are doing and getting people with periods to really think about their own personal experience, how they can make themselves feel better and to not be, to not necessarily think they have to push through all of the time. And but in terms of period care, I would like to see sustainable choices on every supermarket shelf and in every pharmacy, and really just you know, readily available. That, you know, there's a lot of talk about period poverty, and it is a thing, especially at the moment. And I think is giving out reusable products because they're a solution that lasts. You know, you only have to give one disc to someone and that's their period care sorted for 5+ years. You know, we need to flip the model around, because having to provide that one person tampons or pads every month logistically is a lot more challenging. So there's real potential, I think, in the charitable space to help people so their periods aren't a financial burden.
Mm. Yeah, that's so awesome, and definitely like needs to happen. I think at the very least, you know, all women should have access to period products that allow them to have some support and help through their bleed. So I think the work you're doing is so awesome. I have one more question for you before I'm going to hit you with some quick fire period questions to educate our audience. But just the last one, what advice would you give to other young women who want to start a company in a place where they are pushing boundaries like Hello Period?
Do it. Just do it. Like I think if I had thought too much about what we were going to embark on, we would never have done it. It was really lovely having a best friend to enter the business world with, because we could talk about it and you've got that shoulder to cry on and just a constant communication. But I think, again, social media provides an amazing platform to test your idea, really. If you go out and you dip your toe in whatever your idea is, you'll soon know whether you are onto something or not. Mm. And, you know, if it's a product-based idea, it's not expensive to set up a website and just get going. Sort of 20 years ago, we would never have started, because you had to use traditional advertising channels to get in front of people, and that meant huge money to take out newspaper ads or a television ad. There were no podcasts, there was no Facebook, there was no Instagram or TikTok. And now real people can educate other real people about the things that they like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's influencers in the mix too, and their word might not be so genuine, but you know, people tend to follow people they admire on social media, whether it's, you know, their neighbour or a famous actress. And once you found your people and they find things that they like, you trust their recommendations. So, you know, I think anyone who's got a good business idea and has been sitting on it for a while and no one else is doing it, honestly, you just need to try.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. I feel like the barriers to entry now are so low, and like, although it will still feel scary, like just taking that leap and testing things out, we're just so lucky we live in a world where we can do that. So
yeah, absolutely. And you can test your idea out while you're still doing your current job. You know, you don't need to necessarily go in all guns blazing and quit everything and go, this is what I'm doing. Just chip away at it. And
Yeah, so cool. All right, I have a couple of quick fire questions, which I feel like some of them we may have answered throughout the conversation, but I think it's really important that we can provide this education to as many people as possible. So if you don't know them, don't stress. But the first one is, what is the current age or the current average age of young women going through menses?
I think it's around 12, but anecdotally, we are absolutely hearing that girls are starting younger and younger. And I spoke to a woman 2 days ago who said her daughter had her period at 8. And, you know, so I'm not sure, again, because like what we talked about, not enough research done in this space, what might be driving that. But, yeah, I think it's still 12.
Yeah, I have heard that it's getting younger and younger as well, but I don't know exactly why. This one might not be so much a quick fire question, but what happens when you flush a tampon down the loo?
I'm embarrassed to say this, but I was about, I feel like I was about 20 when I found out that you're not supposed to obviously flush them down the loo. And that I thought you could flush tampons, but not pads. But well, they eventually they end up in landfill. They go, you know, they get siphoned out as they go through the filters that filters everything out that people flush down their loo, including lots of random objects. And then any of that solid stuff is taken to landfill. And then obviously in some countries where there's not great infrastructure, they can end up going out to sea. I don't think in recent times I've been on a beach and not seen a pad or a tampon. And, you know, we talk about, you know, they look cottony and soft, but the average tampon will take about 500 years to break down in landfill. So it's a, you know, it's a big issue. And even organic tampons will take about 8 years. And when you do the mass and the multiples on how many each person goes through,
it's about 130
kg of waste per individual, just the products themselves over their period lifetime. And then you think, then there's the packaging and the instructions and...
Crazy. It's a lot of waste. Yeah. All right, the next one is, what is the average number of tampons a menstruator uses across one period?
So again, that will vary between who you talk to, but about 20 to 36 is kind of where we think it. Like, the challenge with tampons is if you have a tampon and you go wee, you really need to change the tampon because the string absorbs the urine and then they start to smell. And so if you're urinating a lot throughout the day, you're changing, even if you don't need to change your tampon technically, most people will. With a cup or a disc, don't need to change them when you go to the bathroom. Even if you're doing the other one, you still don't need to remove them. So, So again, it will depend on the flow. And I guess the other thing I often talk about is tampons will absorb not just your menstrual flow, but sort of everything. So they can really dry the user out. And we've all had that nasty experience of removing a tampon at the end of your cycle where your flow is kind of reduced to not much and it's dried you out, and the feeling of kind of removing it and it feels like it's almost sucking your insides out with it.
Yeah.
And that just, it raises risks of getting an abrasion, and that's where the issue around toxic shock can come in. Toxic shock isn't just something that happens to people with periods. It's bacteria getting into your bloodstream, and it's very serious. But the reason why it's related to periods so often is because when people remove a tampon and it's dry, if they get that abrasion, that can create a pathway for that bacteria to enter.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. And so with the cups and discs, are you still at risk of toxic shock syndrome?
Enough studies have been done, but I think there's been, compared to thousands of cases of toxic shock with tampons, I think there's about three related to cups and discs. I think it's actually just menstrual cups. And those cases, in those cases, the user had an abrasion, mm-hmm. And had also forgotten about their cup and left it in for days. So not ideal. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the risk is hugely reduced because of that. Because they are collecting your blood, they are not absorbing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another win.
Wow, amazing. And then last one, this is more of a selfish one that I wanted to ask you, with period undies. So how long can you actually keep period undies for? Is there like a time frame on how many cycles you should use them for?
And it's a bit like, how long do you keep your undies for? Because, you know, there's some of us who have an embarrassing stash of undies that probably have a longer history than they should. And it's really like, it's the same thing. Period undies should last you at least 3 years, because you're not actually, you're wearing them a lot less than your normal undies. So it is a real personal kind of decision. The technology in them will last, you know, at least 3 years with proper care. And then it's just like, you know, all undies over time start to look a bit manky. But our undies, actually, I've got one here, funnily enough, when I prepared earlier. you know, the gussets are black, and so no staining will show. And they're amazing for just actually working out or running in generally, because of course they're also going to help with any sweat and just leaving you feeling dry. Can go in the dryer and the washing machine. So, you know, they're super easy care. But yeah, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, wow. Okay, cool. They look like a very nice period undies. Yeah. A lot nicer than some others that I've seen.
Yeah, and that's it, you know, like, I guess the world in general is like this, with huge consumer sites that come out of some countries, won't mention any names, that, you know, quality matters. When I really feel passionate about buying less. So when you buy, you want to look for quality and things that will last. And one of the most frustrating things that we've encountered in our business is inferior
sustainable
period products that have that claim to be something that they're not. And for example, cheap cups, they are flimsy, and the vaginal muscles are really strong, and so you actually need something that's quite firm that will stand up to those vaginal muscles, otherwise the cup will just collapse and leak. And you know, cheap period undies, they've kind of just got an extra layer under there, and they claim that they're period undies, and they're not, and they leak. And you know, I don't want people to ever have bad experiences with sustainable period care, because the good ones, life-changing.
Yeah. Well, I will say the Hello Period disc has been life-changing. It's been so amazing to use. And I think you spoke about the intimidation when you look at some of the products, and for the uneducated, they look quite scary or like just different to what we have been used to growing up. But like, once I learned how to use it properly, it's just so easy. So
yeah
it's amazing.
Do you wear it when you're running?
I have not worn it when I'm running yet, but I will next period. I will, and I will report.
That would be great. That would be great, because we've got a lot of people. You know, we've got one of our ambassadors, Anna, is in the Royal New Zealand Ballet, and she, you know, like, she's on stage in a white tutu wearing her disc. I mean, like, I love it.
Amazing.
And we've got a lot of customers who seem to be weightlifters, and they say that, you know, it's great for that. So yeah, I'd love to hear your report.
I will report back. And just a massive thank you for changing the space for women, and particularly women that move and do sport. Like, it is like a game changer for us. So appreciate you. I will go ahead and tag Hello Period into our show notes. I'll pop the website in there as well and tag Robin in so you can all go check out the amazing products. But yeah, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it so much. And I know our listeners will have loved this conversation.
Nice to chat. And thank you for everything you're doing. It's so great.
I'm just stoked that we're doing it together.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.